from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Some shows talk about one team.
Other shows barely talk sports. This show.
We'll talk Packers, yeah! Brewers, yeah! And Bucks.
Yeah! Every day. This show will talk sports every day.
It's Wisconsin.
Doing this, I gotta be honest, I truly missed it. I love doing my podcast. Curt and Long with Ryan Horvath talking Packers. We're doing another episode tomorrow. We'll record and have up tomorrow night. Green and Growing podcast with Nathan Marzion doing an episode tonight. We'll have that up tomorrow morning. Spirit Time Bowling Show podcast. That next episode will record on Friday morning. That'll be up Friday afternoon. Talking about the PBA Tour, which there's a lot going on there. I love doing my podcast, but this here, talking to you all on the phones and stuff, I wouldn't want to do anything else for a living. That is for sure, and I'm very glad that I get to do it again. A note here for you, because it's probably going to drive you crazy listening to it, but I have no choice. In the first hour of the show, first half hour, and all day yesterday, I've had issues with my allergies and so forth. And I've taken Zyrtec and Meyer Allergy Relief and all kinds of stuff. Flonase last night and this morning. Probably more information than you want to know, but I'm setting this up to tell you something. And I've been coughing and having all kinds of issues while trying to do the show. And I was yesterday, too. And for the most part, I think I hit it. Well, today, twice, Charlie had to come on the air while I was having a coughing fit to cover for me. So now I have attempted to have a cough drop in my mouth for the first time while trying to do this radio show. So you're going to hear me moving that cough drop around while I'm talking. I apologize if it's annoying to you. I know some people will probably turn off the radio and be like, I am not listening to Sparky move a cough drop around while he's trying to talk. But it's either that or I cough on the radio crazily, and I don't want to do that. So there you go. All right, so yesterday, Pat Murphy, after the Brewers lose and Joe Ross gives up a bunch of runs, in his post-game press conference, talked about that inning. And immediately, I thought of Sue Pitch Great, right? The famous Ned Yost sounder that we played on 1250 for all those years. And he just got absolutely crushed in that game. Well, Sue Pitch Great. Tim Allen lost his mind. I lost my mind. I think we were at Garibaldi's, Fiesta Garibaldi's, that used to be right over there by the by American Family Field, which then was Miller Park. And Tim and I would do our post-game shows out there all the time. On remote. Every Sunday, for sure, we were out there. And that became a bit that stuck forever. So I was like, man, I just don't know. And so I asked Tim Dillard about it there in the last hour about Joe Ross's performance. If you missed it, this is what Pat Murphy had to say after the game last night, courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Well, I mean, it's not Joe Ross. He didn't do anything wrong. You know, the pitch count violation might be the one thing he did wrong in the inning, but after 28 pitches in the inning, and I mean, it was not Joe Ross. I mean, we had an infield hit and a strikeout and then a walk and then a jam shot hit and a blooper, and I think there's a catcher's interference in there after the strike. He caught the pitch and then it hit, but that is the rule. It's not a great rule, and they're going to change it at some point, I'm sure, but it is technically the rule. Even though he caught the ball already and then the bat hit it for strike three, but In fact, that's just the way the game goes. And then we had a couple other things, balls not caught that got lost in the lights or whatever. It just seemed like a snake bit inning, and we still had a chance to win.
He did. He had the bases loaded, bottom of the ninth. Sal Freely comes to the plate and thinks he's Babe Ruth and tries swinging for the fences on three swings. I love Sal Frelick. Love him. I don't have his jersey yet, but I'm probably going to buy one at some point. And part of the reason I love him is because he's a short dude like me, so I'm all about, you know, having short dudes, like, represent and do something, give other short dudes a little sliver of hope that maybe they can do something in life and in sports. But either way, I did not like his approach at the plate. It drove me nuts. But either way, they did have the bases loaded. They had a chance, like Pat Murphy said. The other thing about Pat Murphy, I've come to realize, and listening to his press conferences, because he's done it to Jackson Chourio, I think, a couple of times. He is not scared to throw people. And now that time, you know, he didn't say specifically by name, but he's not scared to bring up, yeah, I should have had that ball caught. Maybe the loss of the lights, whatever. Not sure what happened, but that ball should have been caught. Like, he's not scared to say whether or not somebody should have caught a ball or not. When Council was managing, it was, oh, I didn't see it. Always. Council never saw anything. Anytime there was any question of anything, oh, I didn't, I couldn't tell from my vantage point. No, I didn't see it. Now, in large part, that's him protecting guys and not having to lie or whatever the case may be. In other part, maybe he actually didn't see it. Do I buy he didn't see it all the time, every time somebody asked him something? No, I don't. I don't believe it at all. But either way, Murphy, on the other hand, he's going to tell you how it is. Like I said, he's like Doc Rivers. In fact, he's very comfortable in his skin. He don't care. Like, he's, here we go. You want to answer a question? I'll answer it. So, he referenced the pitch clock violation in that game. And I had Charlie, using our producer here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, I had him go back and grab that highlight. I guess it wouldn't be a highlight. I guess it would be a low light, maybe, if you're a Brewers fan. And play this back for you, courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin, so you could hear it in case you weren't watching the game last night or missed it or whatever. This is what it sounded like.
Time called by Ha-Seong Kim, and are we going to get a pitch timer violation? Yes. Pitch timer violation on Joe Ross when he had Kim on the ropes. It's going to lead to a walk, and the ninth man to hit in the inning will be Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, these are the times where the pitch clock can really be in the favor of the hitter. Yeah, big pitch, couple of men on, two outs. Took a little bit too much time.
You can see the frustration on the face of Joe Ross. Now you deal with the 20-year-old Jackson Merrill.
So I was... That was highlight courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin. I was listening to the radio because I was, we were driving back from Youth State Bowling Tournament in Wausau. So I was listening to the radio broadcast. And the point they made on the radio broadcast was, you don't really notice that pitch clock when you're watching the Brewers game or following along at the ballpark until something happens. That is like, oh. Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. Probably should pay attention. Now, that is not the excuse that can be given to the pitcher or the catcher. It's their damn jobs. They don't get that excuse. Well, but from a fan perspective, you really don't pay attention to it because you don't see it as much. The commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, put rules into place. Whether it's the disengagements, trying to hold runners on, trying to speed these at-bats up with the pitch clock, making larger bases to help increase stolen bases and stuff like that, and safety. He's made several changes over the last couple of years. I want to know from you, do you like the changes that Rob Manfred has made? Now that it's been a little while, do you like the changes that have been made? Because, again, that is a clear example of where that was an issue. And you saw in the Orioles series, that whole disengagement thing two, three times from a pitcher. That came up in the Orioles series as well. So you're seeing some of these violations happening now maybe a little bit more regularly. And you would think it would go away because they've been playing with these rules, you know, for a little bit. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. I have always been a guy that thought the baseball season was too long. Still am. Haven't changed my opinion on that at all. I've always said I thought baseball should start May 1st. The first round of the playoffs should happen Labor Day weekend. Baseball should be done by the end of August. When kids go back to school in September, well, some kids go back in August, but when kids go back to school in September, right, that's kind of when the playoffs should be starting. There's numerous reasons for why I say this. Number one, April weather in the Midwest and East Coast suck. So why put yourself through that in the month of April? Now, it's been a little bit warmer here lately, but for the most part, it's a lot of rain and cancellations and delays and so forth if you don't have a dome or a roof. So that's one reason why I'd like to get rid of the month of April and just play in May. The reason of getting done at the end of August is because if your team is out of it by the end of August, bye-bye, because then you have families going back to school, which means you're not having those same families that would come out in the middle of the week because, you know, little Billy or Jenny or whatever would just go by their grandma or grandpa's the next day, or have a babysitter that would watch them the next day, or go to daycare or whatever while you go to work the next day. They got something to watch them. Not a big deal. They don't have to go to school or whatever the case may be. The other reason is, in most markets that have Major League Baseball, the attention shifts to the NFL. Once the NFL season starts, if your market is out of the playoff hunt, you're not very good, it's over. Good or bad, in the summertime, people like just going to it because it's an outdoor event, it's social, it's something fun to do with your friends and family and so forth, between, especially here in Milwaukee, the tailgating and everything that goes along with it. So if you squeeze out, say, 50 games off this schedule, and it ends up being, like, say, 112 games instead of 162, obviously, it'll never happen. I understand this. But all these games would be more meaningful, and the playoffs would be done, hopefully, by the end of September. So now you're not playing playoff games in snow, right, or frigid conditions in the fall. Ridiculous. Like, give yourself a chance to play a summer sport while the temperatures are still decent in the month of September. So I've always said that. The time of the game itself was never an issue with me. I never really cared one way or the other about it being 3 hours or 3 hours and 15 minutes or whatever. And from time to time, you'd have a pitcher that we would refer to as the human rain delay when we used to do postgame shows. Because when that guy pitched, you knew you could add 20 minutes onto the broadcast of how long the game was going to be, because this dude took forever in between pitches. Just slowed the game way down. So when they came up with the idea of the pitch clock, I was like, okay. Now, there are some that aren't big fans of it, right? Tim Dillard, for one. If you go back and listen to previous Tim Dillard interviews I did, if you go to the Brewers coverage page on the Odyssey app, him and I have been doing weekly stuff during the Brewers season since before. All of last year, we did weekly interviews. He was not a huge fan of the pitch clock, and really still wasn't by the end of the year. Now, again, that's coming from a pitcher perspective, right? But I don't know how anybody could possibly be opposed to the pitch clock when you're talking about games getting done in like 2 hours and 30 minutes. That half hour is a huge deal at the end of the day. A huge deal. Because that seventh inning stretch, now that gets moved up a little bit early. Like, all of that stuff is changed. And if you're a diehard core baseball fan, I get it, right? I don't care how long it is. Who cares? I love watching baseball. I don't care how long it takes. I love being at the park. And that's great. They don't care about you. Rob Manfred does not care about you. You want to know why? Because Rob Manfred knows you're going no matter what. You don't care. Rob Manfred cares about your kids who are in high school or middle school. That's who he cares about. He wants to make sure they're lifelong baseball fans and can have their attention span for as long as he's had your attention span at your age right now. That's what he wants. And he's trying to figure out how to get to that point. So shortening the games makes a lot of sense. And he's done that through the pitch count and then these disengagements where you're only allowed so many. That's helped to shorten the game because you can't go back and forth to first base five or six times. So that's good. Then you take these bases and you make them, you know, bigger. And you hope that leads to more stolen bases and so forth. And as we talked about yesterday, stolen bases make the sport better. Make it more exciting when you're watching on TV. Makes it more exciting when you're at the game and you're watching. So I think that's good for the sport, too. I've never been a Rob Manfred hater, like a lot of people have been over the course of time. Because it's pretty clear that Rob Manfred maybe doesn't love the sport of baseball, right? Bud Selig loved baseball. That's not even debatable. Anybody that's ever talked to that man or been around him or people that surround him, the man loves the game. So when he was commissioner, and I always said, he was a better commissioner than he was an owner, my opinion. And if you don't know the backstory about how he got baseball back into Milwaukee after the Braves left, it's an amazing story. It is. It will blow your mind when you hear some of the stuff that Bud had to go through in order to get this thing done. So he clearly loves Milwaukee, yes. And he clearly loved wanting to have that MLB team here. Just the way it all played out after that, right? So Harry Dalton was a legendary GM for the Milwaukee Brewers. After Harry Dalton left, they stunk forever. I mean, what was it, 26 years, whatever it was. So they got back to the playoffs. There was 11 consecutive years of never finishing over 500. Horrible. He was owner, so he gets the blame. I mean, you can love baseball, you can love Milwaukee, you can love the Brewers and all this other stuff. Lowballing Paul Molitor. But that's the reason Molitor leaves. That's on you. And you can tell me about finances and all this other stuff. But not at any point that I remember did that ever come out publicly that, hey, don't boo Paulie because we screwed him because we can't afford to have him. Nope. Never came out. I was at County Stadium. I was booing Paul Molitor when he came back. I was a kid. But I was booing him because I was mad because I thought, man, unbelievable. He left us. Screw him. That's where I was. Then it wasn't until I was an adult in this industry when we found out otherwise. Yeah, it felt horrible. I'm like, oh my God. Everybody would have felt horrible. If everybody in that stadium that night knew what really happened, the man never would have been booted any time of his return to Milwaukee. But it was never admitted to ever. So that's why I say, Bud owner, not so much. Bud commissioner, yeah. And I know the All-Star game got screwed up. And with the tie, and then we want to play for advantage, you know, in the playoff or in the World Series and all the other nonsense that went down after that. But he redid the divisions. He's the one that added wild card play. He did so much for the game of baseball. So while Manfred may not love the game like Bud, I think Rob Manfred has helped the game of baseball try to continue to move forward and progress so that these younger people will start to watch it and be more in it. Oh, we got a young guy right here, Charlie Houston. Charlie, I'm going to bring you on. So, for you, when you're not here or when you were in college, because you just graduated, last year, did you sit down and watch full baseball games, you and your buddies, while you were in college?
Not full games. We watched a few innings, but that's about it. It was usually basketball or football.
Okay. When you were in college, and maybe even now, did you sit down and watch full sports centers and highlight shows to see everything?
No, not the full show. About 30, 40 minutes, maybe.
Right. 17-year-old at home. That I have. Not Charlie. He's too young to have a 17-year-old. His knowledge of, like, what's going on is TikTok. Oh, did you see this? Yeah, I saw on TikTok a highlight. The problem with that is, and I get mad at him, don't come at me with some opinion you think you have based on a TikTok video. Like, do you know anything surrounding it? And then I point this, isn't it? Well, no, but this, And then we get in an argument. We want to go back and forth about stuff. I was like, stop. Like, if you want to have an opinion on a player, fine. Then watch their games and have an opinion. Don't come at me with an opinion based on a TikTok highlight reel. Like, please don't do that. I don't want to hear about that nonsense. But what I'm learning is that is that generation. They live on the social media apps, and that's how they form their opinions on life in general. Not just sports, just everything, right? So those people who do not have the patience to sit down and watch a baseball game, for instance, he will have the Brewer game on his phone while playing video games. And he'll have it in the background so he hears it, but he's playing his video games, whatever the heck they play. He's playing his video games. He's a Sacramento Kings fan. He'll have the video up watching the Kings game, and he'll be playing his video. That's it. So it's not like you or me where you sit down on the couch on a Sunday afternoon, kick back, have a sandwich, some chips, whatever the case may be, a couple beverages, and watch your team play in the summertime. No. That's not how it is. And that's why everybody gets pissed off and mad for normally our older people. That's what it is. Don't change my game. I love my games. Quit screwing with my game. Here's some breaking news. It ain't your game. It's not. If you want this thing to evolve and continue, you have to be willing to let it evolve and continue. Think about all the things in society that we have today that we would not have. Think about it. We would still have a rotary phone plugged into our wall because you all don't want to evolve and continue forward, moving in progress. And some of you, I'm sure, would be loving it. I hear this all the time. You know, Spark, these damn cell phones, man, I wish nobody had cell phones. Just put your cell phone down. Or, I'm not tethered to my cell phone. Okay, I am. Being completely honest, I'm on my phone all the time. Drives everybody around me crazy. I'm constantly on it. But just try it. Tell everybody you know that you're not going to pay attention to your cell phone for a week. You know what's going to happen? You're going to start sweating. Start shaking. Going to be in the fetal position. Sucking on your thumb, waiting to get back to your phone. Not because, necessarily, that you have to talk to everybody. It's just something that's a part of your life now that you're used to. And it's a way of life. Because your phone just isn't something you talk on. Your phone is something you take pictures of. When you would go to the ballpark, you'd have to bring in a camera case with camera. They'd have to kind of go through it or whatever. Maybe back in the day, they didn't even go through camera cases. Back in the 80s or whatever. You go in, put all your different lenses on, take pictures. Then you go over, get them developed, do all of that at Walgreens or the camera place that used to develop pictures. And then you go pick them up. These damn phones. Boop, you take a picture, and look, I have it. I can look at it right here. I have a phone. That's why, as much as you may hate these things, it really has become kind of a life necessity for most people. Now, there are people like my mom who has a flip phone still, refuses to change. I get it. Doesn't want to evolve, doesn't want to go with that. But she's not going to be without a phone, that's for sure. Like the changes made in MLB over the last couple of years by Commissioner Rob Manfred? Or are you an old stick in the mud that doesn't like change and wants your baseball like it was in the 80s? I'm not going to yell at you, even though I know I sound very passionate right now. I promise you, I will let you have your say. 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet at us at 1250 AM, The Fan. Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM. The Fan, C. Sparky Fiber with you, Charlie Usen, the producer. Other side of the glass here as well. Do you like the changes made in Major League Baseball over the last couple of years made by Commissioner Rob Manfred? Do you like where the game is headed? Or are you still not with it? Which I still don't understand. I mean, we're referencing this because this came up during that Joe Ross bad inning. This came up involving Joe Ross, courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Time called by Ha-Sung Kim, and we can going to get a pitch timer violation? Yes. Pitch timer violation on Joe Ross when he had Kim on the ropes. It's going to lead to a walk, and the ninth man to hit in the inning will be Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, these are the times where the pitch clock can really be in the favor of the hitter. Big pitch, couple of men on, two outs. Took a little bit too much time.
You can see the frustration on the face of Joe Ross. Now you deal with the 20-year-old Jackson Merrill.
Another Jackson that's really playing well is Jackson Merrill. Jackson Churio, Jackson Holiday, all that fun stuff. Highlight courtesy of Valley Sports Wisconsin. So you'd like the changes made in MLB over the last couple of years by Commissioner Rob Manfred. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. And again, I like the phone calls, I like the tweets, all that fun stuff. But I also like going to Charlie Houston from time to time, too, to get his thoughts. And on this topic here specifically, because he is younger, it is a completely different, probably, position than I have, because I'm older. So let's see what Charlie Houston thinks of this topic. What say you, Charlie?
I mean, what you were saying before of your son watching the games on his phone while he's also playing video games, I'm guilty of doing the same thing. I listen to podcasts while,
there you go.
Yep. While I'm playing games and stuff. This like new generation of baseball, I like to call it like the highlight generation, because there's just so much more going on social media. And while it may take away from some of the tradition of the game, I also feel like it's bringing in a lot of new fans, and there are people my age watching whole games still. You know, a lot of stuff I see on TikTok is people breaking down at-bats, breaking down plays in football games. It's not all just people giving their opinion, but there's actual people watching film and film on there that you kind of find. And I think baseball is a great example of a sport benefiting from that. And I think that's kind of been huge for the game of baseball, for getting some kind of new viewership that they weren't really getting for a long time here.
It's funny, you bring up the highlight generation. When did that start? SportsCenter, right? That was the whole thing. Oh, a highlight show. And I remember the older people back then were mad. What are we doing? And again, you know what that really hurt was the local sportscast. That's really what it hurt, because when ESPN blew up, and they started in the 70s, but when they blew up later, and people really started buying cable and battling satellite and doing that whole thing, and that probably kind of took off there in the 90s. When that happened, that really took away a little bit of the, okay, well, why should I watch local sports on my local channels or whatever else? So then what the local guys have had to do is, you still play your highlights like you normally do, but then you figure out, okay, maybe I do special highlight packages or something like that to get grandma and grandpa to tune in to watch the kids play. Or I do special sit-down one-on-ones at spring training or in training camp or during the season. I have a Packer on, you know, once a week or something like that to try and get those people tune in. Because if you're just playing highlights, that's all you're going to do, then you may not get those other people that would have tuned in before to see sports. And that really is why weather forecasts are still so popular on TV to a certain degree. Because, yeah, you have your app, weather.com, AccuWeather. But if you're like me, half the time those things aren't even close to right or aren't right. And then you're just like, what? Why did I even look? Right? So for me, like, I'm always checking, again, tethered to my phone. I'm always checking Twitter, whatever the case may be, or going to station websites, checking weather forecasts, or turning on the 10 o'clock news or the 5, well, not the 5 o'clock news because I'm here now, but back then, turning on the 5 o'clock news or the 10 o'clock news, seeing the latest forecasts from the different meteorologists in town. And that's kind of why that's still a thing, where sports is kind of taking it away from it. So how does baseball hold you, the 20-something-year-old, to when you're in your 40s, you still want to buy tickets, want to go to the game, and do that? Like, how many baseball games do you even go to a year, Charlie?
I mean, the Brewers tickets, if you get those nosebleeds, they're extremely cheap, and there's a lot of fun to go to those still. I think kind of baseball games are more about the experience. I think they've always been about the experience more than the actual game, but more so lately. I think a lot of the times when I'm at the stadium, it's about trying all the new foods that these stadiums are releasing, all the new...
Brewers do a great job of that. They got that Third Street Market All experience this year over at American Family Field. I can't wait to try that out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the different games and stuff they have set up in the stadium, there's so much more going on around the game that draws people in. I think that's what draws in my generation a lot, and I think they're just going to keep improving on that.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely a large part of it, no question. And tailgating, which isn't done in every city, but that's a big thing, too. Like, even in some of these cities like Chicago with Wrigley, no, there's not tailgating per se, but they still have, they have like a green turf area where you can play catch with your kid or your friends or whatever right by the stadium. They have like a two-story pro shop type deal with a huge bar and stuff, a restaurant, and then you have, you know, the Cubby Bear Bar and all that other stuff around it. So even though there's no tailgating, there's the experience around the park, which has been brought up from Milwaukee to do as far as building bars and restaurants and stuff like that around the park. And then, of course, it's, well, you're going to take away all of our tailgating spaces. Okay. Hey, if we're going to be honest about that, how many games during the week are sold out? How many games during the week are we talking about 40,000 people? It's not happening. Even on the weekends, yeah, you may get the occasional sellout from time to time on a Saturday or Sunday if it's a huge giveaway, and that's normally when it happens, is a huge giveaway, or they're playing the Cubs or the Cardinals, and road fans are traveling in and buying up the tickets to come support their team. It's a long season. And if you took some spaces away, I really don't think it's end of the world if you add to the experience. And then it's, well, not as many people are going to tailgate. People are going to want to go to the bars or the restaurants, and they're not going to tailgate as much. Well, that's on them. Listen, the Brewers aren't making any money off y'all tailgating. They're losing money. I told Rick Schlesinger, for years, there should be a tailgate permit if you want to go tailgate at that park. I'm serious, because they're not making any money off of you. And Rick always laughed and said, no, Sparky. But it doesn't have to be expensive. But imagine this. Imagine if he said, and the Brewers said, we're going to charge you $50 for a tailgate sticker. You can use it all year. If you have the sticker, you're good. You don't have the sticker and you want a tailgate, it's going to be $5 a game to tailgate. I'm sure you're driving in your car right now going, what are you talking about? From a business perspective, tailgating? Think about it. How much food do you eat at your tailgate party? How much beverage do you drink at your tailgate party? How much money are you yourself saving that you're not going to spend inside the ballpark now because you saved all that money tailgating? Now, part of the reason, I think, that he doesn't want to do that is because he thinks there would be like a fan revolt or something, probably, if he started charging a tailgate. I don't think that's the case. Will fans be mad? Absolutely. Will fans pay it? You damn Skippy, they will. No question. A season ticket holder, $50 for a season, I'm good. Here's 50. I'm in. I'm good. So now take, you know, whatever the case may be, however many there are, that's an extra, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 or more than that. And then if you're just coming in for two or three games a year, $5 a pop, that's $15. Nobody's going to bat an eye at $5 to tailgate. Nobody. You're saving more than that by not having to buy food inside the park or not having to buy beers inside the park because you're liquoring up outside in the parking lot. Nobody's going to bat an eye at $5. So those are opportunities that he could charge you on and the Brewers could charge you on, and they ain't because they like y'all. I don't know. That's the reason. They like you. So you get all mad at Mark Adonasio and get all mad and bent out of shape that he's a horrible owner and this and that and all this other crap I read. Man, they could be milking y'all for a lot more money than they are right now. And they are being nice. Real nice. All right, so back to the phones. I keep talking too much. Sean in Wanakee, you are up next here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM The Fan. What's up, Sean?
I don't know why anyone would like me from Adonasio to Rick Schlesinger and down, but nonetheless.
We all like you, Sean.
Nice. Anyway, Getting back to Manfred, I'm a touch older than you, Sparky, and I did not want to like the on-field changes, pitch clock and man on second, no shift, that type of thing. But, in practice, I ended up liking it. It did not take anything from me. The speed, the change of pace, I actually did like it. I had seen it in the minors a little bit on some of the local cable channels, and yeah, I thought it was intriguing, interesting. I do not like Rob Manfred, the way he is, administering the league as a whole in regards to the situation with team movement and whatnot. But yeah, as far as the highlight catering to the highlight generation, I was in high school when SportsCenter came home. I loved SportsCenter.
Sure.
From the very first day. So that's just one man's opinion. Glad to have you back. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. That dude didn't want to keep listening. You can stream us on the Odyssey app. That's how you do it. I saw earlier here. One second here. Let me go back to my my Twitter account to tell you some of the tweets I've been getting in here. Where is it? Is it here? Let me see. Where is it? Nope, I can't find it. But a guy tweeted me earlier, listening in Boise, North Dakota, checking out the show. Used to listen to the Big Show all the time, and saw on social media that we were back on the air again here doing Wisconsin Sports Daily, listening there. I'm telling you, just because you don't live in Wisconsin or you don't live in the Milwaukee area does not mean that you can't listen. That's a great thing. Another great thing about the cell phone. There you go. Let's add on to what we were just talking about, right? Evolving. Back in the day, you didn't live in the town your radio station was at. You couldn't listen to them. Couldn't listen to your favorite show. Absolutely not. I remember, I'll tell you a quick story. God, I love doing this sports talk stuff. When I was a kid growing up, I was probably, I don't know, 7th grade, 8th grade, something like that. And there was no sports talk radio, obviously, or in Milwaukee, nothing of the sort. And I would fall asleep listening to Pat Hughes and Bob Uecker doing West Coast games, the radio under my bed and so forth, or under my pillow. And then as you get older, still didn't have sports talk radio in Milwaukee, but I found a station that was real scratchy called WMVP in Chicago. And then I found another one called The Score in Chicago. And I could barely get them in Kenosha. And it got really hard at night. And you listen like in between and try and make it out the best you could. But there was no other way to listen to it, right? No other way to listen to it. And then if I started, in the car, whatever the case, we started driving away from Illinois, then it was gone. Like, it was all done. Now, again, this was before The Score ended up on 670 and all that stuff. But that was the sports talk that I kind of grew up listening to because they didn't really have sports talk in Milwaukee for a large portion of time. With phones, had this existed back in the day, I could have just screamed it on my phone. Like, literally, if you're a Packer fan or a Brewer fan or whatever, you can literally go into the Odyssey app, and when they're playing a team, like say you're playing the Philadelphia Eagles or the Philadelphia Phillies, you can go and listen to WIP, one of the legendary sports talk stations in this country, and stream it on your phone and listen to their sports talk programming and see what they're saying about the Brewers or seeing what they're saying about the Packers, or if they're playing the 76ers, listen to see what they're saying about Giannis and the Bucks. You couldn't do that back in the day. You would never hear these other sports talk stations. So you hear people talk about the Fan in New York. Most of us have never even heard the Fan in New York before because probably never went to New York. And if you were in New York, you probably weren't thinking about listening to sports talk radio. You were sightseeing and doing other stuff. You grew up out there, obviously, it was the thing. It was, I think it was like the number one sports talk station to come out in the country. Now, you can listen to that station as much as you want. So, again, we can sit here and fight Major League Baseball and say Rob Manfred's an idiot, and we don't like changes and so forth, but just admit to yourself, just a little bit, he's done all right. He's made some good changes. All right, I told you yesterday We're going to do Packers, Brewers, and Bucks every day. Some days, longer segments on one topic, on one team, maybe multiple topics on one team, but at least one segment every day would be attributed to those three teams as much as possible. Sometimes it may not happen, but I'm going to do my best. Talk Packers, coming up next. Yesterday in this segment, we focused on Christian Yelich. I was thinking about this. We may just focus on a different player on one of our favorite sports teams every day in this 340 segment. I'm thinking we may do this. Today's person that I want to focus on, Christian Watson, Packers wide receiver, Mr. Hamstring. We're going to talk about him coming up next, expectations, how it affects the draft, what to make of the offseason and stuff that's been said about how they're handling Christian Watson. We'll talk about that straight ahead here. Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM, The Fan.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM. The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Charlie Hughes on the other side of the glass producing. Tuesday. I'm having a blast. I hope you're having a blast too, being back here on 1250. Again, make sure you set that. Make sure that car is that preset is on 1250 now. I tweeted out, co-tweeted earlier today. Somebody that had tweeted that all set, got it. And they took a picture of 1250 on their car radio. And I co-tweeted. I think I said to be like Brett. I think that was the guy's name. Be like Brett and make 1250 a preset in your car. And I was talking to a couple other people last night that reached out. And I just tell everybody the same thing. Man, if we are going to grow this the way we want to, we have to be kind of like the fan community, kind of like super fans, where we got to tell everybody we know that this thing is coming back. That's how we're going to have to build it, build ratings, build everything. And then, you know, if you want to advertise, or you know people that would probably want to advertise, you know, get them in touch with me or have them call the station, whatever the case may be. And let's get them on the air and going, and let's build this thing back up the way it was. That's the goal. Plain and simple, that's the goal. That's where we want to go. And I think we have every opportunity to get back to where we were and have a ton of local programming, have a lot of fun. But it's going to take a community of help in order to get there. And hopefully we get it. So do your part, please, and help us out. All right, so I said we were talking Packers every day, like Brewers and Badgers, or Brewers and Bucks, I should say. Yesterday we had Christian Yelich in this segment. Today we're going to do Christian Watson, Packers wide receiver. Now, again, Christian Watson had a good year last year, but again, dinged up with hamstring injuries. And his dad, Tim Watson, who played in the league for a second, changed his name or whatever, and is on Twitter by some other name. And I'll be honest with you, for a while, I did not know who this dude was that was tweeting about Christian all the time. I was like, who is this? Could not figure it out. Eventually, I figured it out. So he is very active on social media and talks about it all the time. And we'll go back and forth with Packer fans that are attacking Christian or praising Christian. He'll go back and forth with. And that's fine. You're the dad. You go about this however you want. After the season is done, Matt LaFleur talks about how, you know, they're going to do all this extensive testing and they're going to send him to places and they're going to figure out how to fix this hamstring problem. My reaction to that was kind of, I mean, it sounds good. I want to be happy. I want to be excited. But does anybody remember 52? Does anybody remember Clay Matthews? Does anybody remember how many times that dude had his hamstring issues? If you don't want to talk about that guy, how about Fred Taylor, the running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars? That dude was always hurt with hamstring injuries, all the time. So, I hear the Packers, right? They make a change on the training staff. Oh, we're going to do all this testing. We're going to send Watson places, and we're going to attack this differently, and we're going to try and solve it. Okay. Aim for effort. Well done. Well done. You're trying, right? That's all you can ask. Try and see if you can fix it. And if you can, God bless you. Because this offense for the Packers is going to be amazing if that dude could stay healthy every year or at least play 15, 16 games a year. If he does that, sky's the limit because he is a huge difference maker for this offense. Now, let's come back down to earth for a second. Odds are they're probably not going to really fix it. There's just too many examples of athletes in football that have had hamstring problems that have just become chronic. For whatever the reason, they just always have that problem. The Packers have to make a read on this of what they want to do. Now, you could say, we're going to play one more year after we did all this stuff in the offseason. And if he can't stay healthy again, then we're going to go looking for a wide receiver in the first round next year. That can be your strategy. Absolutely. You can wait another year, give it a chance. If it doesn't work again, then say, all right, we're going to have to go find somebody else. We love you, but we're going to have to try something else here. So that's one option. The other option, which I'm not opposed to at all, if you are at 25 in the first round, and somebody that shouldn't be at 25 falls to you from a wide receiver position, highly unlikely. But if it were to happen, I'm not opposed to drafting a stud wide receiver if one falls to you. Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, LSU, stretches the field, kind of like Christian Watson. Not opposed to it. Nope, not at all. Fine. Because I just am not of the belief that this is really going to get fixed. Been through it too many times, watching too many guys struggle with these hamstring injuries that never can ever recover. And as much as I applaud the effort of them trying to figure this out, and they should, but to me, if you don't do it now, that's fine. But this should be it. This is year three. If he can't get through year three healthy, then you have to figure out what is going to be the next explosive playmaker that's going to work. I love Jaden Reed. Big fan. He ain't Christian Watson. I love Romeo Doubs. He's not Christian Watson, right? Different players, different builds. You've got Wicks, Dontayvion Wicks. He might be your one eventually. I like Dontayvion Wicks. He's not Christian Watson. They don't have another Christian Watson on that team. They've got a lot of really good wide receivers. I love the wide receiver room. But it's not the same if Watson can't stay on the field. It's not. It takes on it's a different way of looking at things. Can you still win without it? Yes. And they proved they could win without him because they did. Right? You could still win. But you can't be as explosive and as dangerous, maybe, as you want to be without that big-time elite difference makers, tall, explosive, super fast type guy that can just change the landscape of a game like that. That's what you want. So, if you don't want to do it now, that's fine. But I don't think you can wait past year three. If he can't stay healthy in year three, then you've got to think of different alternative measures to kind of deal with Christian Watson. You got thoughts on Christian Watson? Dial it up. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Let's go to the phones. Already got another guy. He's always on the Odyssey app, calling the post-game show. Now he's calling this show. You remember him. Some of you hate him. I like him. Vincent in Anaheim, you're up next here on Wisconsin Sports Daily with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up, Vincent?
What's up, Steve, man? What's up, man? First of all, I want to say congratulations on the new show.
Thank you.
I'm glad that the bosses, you know, finally saw the light, man, that, you know, you got loyal fans out there, and they love
Vincent. We got new bosses. That's what changed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, new bosses.
Okay, cool,
yeah.
Cool. Then there you go then. See? There you go. Cool, man. But hey, man, a lot of people like me because my Raptors beat y'all Bucks, you know. Raptors.
Don't listen to me, man. Listen to me. People listening right now might not even know who you are. Don't have them all hate you in the first 2 minutes, man. Don't bring that up.
Yeah, it's all good. I got that against the Bucks, though, man. It's all good. But hey, I'm a Packer fan, though. I'm a Packer fan and a Brewer fan for sure. So, you know, because of Tim Allen back in the day and all that, and your show, you know that. But, man, Christian Watson. That hamstring, you know, like explosiveness. If you got a messed up hamstring, you're not going to be explosive no more. You know, we all know once that hamstring becomes loose, it's either, you know, it gets real tight, and he's off and on the field. That was my thing when your producer brought this up. I was like, oh yeah, I got an opinion about him, man. I think was it worth the trade up? I mean, to get him? Yes, of course, because you know the hype, not the hype, but the thing was there. But the injuries, man, I think you give him 4 years because I always like, since it's a positive thing, you like, if he improves, then we put him out there. But if not, somebody else got to take his spot in practice, man, because he's getting all the, you know, the one reps. You know, he's taking the reps away from these younger guys or these other guys that can take it. And I think Romeo Doubs, I think he's good, man. I think he can be like that Robert Brooks or, you know, Antonio Freeman. Like, damn, that's what they remind me of, kind of.
Sure.
One of them was Antonio Freeman, the other one was Robert Brooks, man.
Yeah.
And he just needed to step up. But he has to stay healthy. Every time, man, we're on a roll, he's doing his thing, he's either getting hurt or, like, he gets hit and he gets hurt. It's, like, because he's too skinny, he's too small. So it gets a little frustrating, but I believe in him. I mean, what's a rookie contract? 5 years or 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years. You know, the fifth-year option or whatever.
I think
we're talking about that.
Do the 4 years. I mean, but you got to plan ahead, like you said, Sparky. You know, you're always right, man. You even called it back in the day back in your podcast, Curtin Long. You called it about the kicker costing us a playoff game.
Carlson.
And you're kind of right, man. You're kind of right about this whole, you know, I hope he gets better because we need that number one explosive receiver because he's out there and all the other receivers, how they showed up, man, be unstoppable. And we got the running game. We got my Raider, my ex-Raider,
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, Aaron Jones, man. I hate he went to the Vikings, but, you know, it is what it is. But let's see what happens, man. But I believe in this, let him ride out the contract, but just don't pick up his option if he keeps staying hurt, you know. But you never know because he can go out there maybe one game and show out. And then maybe next game he's hurt. But, you know, all it takes is that explosive play, you know, then you're in the playoffs or he does that one miracle catch and he's going to be known for that forever, you know. But
got you. All right, Vincent, thanks for the call,
man.
I appreciate you. There he is, Vincent in Anaheim, calling in, being a part of Wisconsin Sports Daily here on 1250 AM, The Fan. The Doubs thing, yeah, Antonio Freeman, maybe, sure. I think he's a solid receiver. I like Doubs. I got nothing against Doubs. I think he's very good. He's just not the huge downfield threat that you need, right? Jaden Reed has shown he can be a downfield threat. I think Wicks can probably be more of a downfield threat, too. But they're not that guy. They're just not that guy. And that guy is kind of what you really want to have here. And the Packers haven't had a guy like that a ton. Javon Walker, right? I mean, maybe kind of to that degree. And you never really got the fruits of that because you had the contract told out, all that other stuff, and then he was gone. And then he was involved in that horrible situation. Was it in a limousine or whatever when that guy got shot and he was in the limo and all that nonsense that went down in Denver? And he was never the same after that. But when you talk about him in Green Bay, Walker showed that he could be unbelievable. Like, he had, in my opinion, he had all-pro talent. That kid could have been phenomenal in situations and so forth. It never got to be that way. But if I'm the Packers looking at Christian Watson right now, the other thing that Vincent brought up, and I don't think he maybe necessarily looked at it this way as far as what he said, but I'm going to take it this way. Maybe you don't practice him as much. Maybe. Is that part of the deal, to rest that hamstring during the week? Maybe he doesn't practice as much. He goes through walkthroughs, does that stuff. And while they're practicing, you're just working that hammy over and over, stretching it and keeping it warm and so forth. Charlie, do you like that idea of maybe not practicing them as much during the season?
I mean, playing college football, that was a plan for a lot of guys in that situation.
Even you big tackles, you got to rest?
There was a couple guys out there that were resting like 2 to 3 days a week instead of practicing, doing the workouts with the trainers and stuff. I see value in it. I also see, you know, people kind of becoming disinterested in the team at points like that, and they kind of lose some of their competitive spirit when they're not competing every day. And I can't say that same thing about Christian Watson. I don't know Christian Watson personally, but there's a risk that you kind of get alienated almost in that sense.
Yep. And you know what? You are an adult now. Grow the hell up. Like, grow up. I mean, I get the isolation part. See, okay, how do I not offend people listening? Specifically Charlie on the other side of the glass, who could break me in half if he wants. This is the thing, right? Athletes, when they're playing and they're in the locker room and they're doing that, and I don't care how old y'all are a bunch of children. I mean, y'all are. You're playing your games in the shower games and towel snapping and crude humor or whatever else is going on in the locker room. That's what it is, right? So when you get pushed out in the real world, oh, damn, I got to grow up now. What the hell? So the isolation syndrome thing is interesting because it's kind of like being at recess or not being able to go out to recess because you have to stay and you're like, oh, man, this kind of sucks, whatever the case may be. But if it keeps him healthy and on the field, that has to be priority one. Like Charles Woodson back in the day, that man didn't practice all the time. No chance. They had no interest in wanting to practice all the time. So there are certain guys that didn't want to practice. They were fine not practicing. They wanted to make sure they were healthy and ready to play on Sunday. So if that helps Watson play on Sunday, then just don't practice him a ton. I got some tweets coming in here. Scott tweets at 1250 AM The Fan. It makes me sick that I agree with this, but Sparky is correct. The Packers have to hedge their bet here some, but need to draft a wide receiver. I think they will draft a wide receiver. I just don't know when. Right? That's the big thing. You draft one in day one. Do you go day two for the draft of a wide receiver? Or do you wait till day three? Because, again, that wide receiver room is set. And you're pretty good at this point. So it's just a matter of how much do you want to screw with it and try and upgrade it. And Gutekunst seems to be a GM that doesn't care how stacked the room is. If he feels like he has an idea that could improve competition, he'll do it. All right, that'll wrap up hour number two. Coming up next, how would you grade the Bucks ownership group over the last 10 years? Why is it a topic? I'll tell you next here on The Fan.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM. The Fan. Steve Sparky Fiverr with you. Charlie Hughes in other side of the glass producing. Tuesday. I'm having a blast. I hope you're having a blast too, being back here on 1250. Again, make sure you set that. Make sure that car is that preset is on 1250 now. I tweeted out, quote tweeted earlier today. Somebody that had tweeted that all set, got it. And they took a picture of 1250 on their car radio. And I quote tweeted, I think I said, be like Brett. I think that was the guy's name. Be like Brett and make 1250 a preset in your car. And I was talking to a couple other people last night that reached out. And I just tell everybody the same thing. Man, if we are going to grow this the way we want to, we have to be kind of like the fan community, kind of like super fans, where we got to tell everybody we know that this thing is coming back. That's how we're going to have to build it. Build ratings, build everything. And then, you know, if you want to advertise, or you know people that would probably want to advertise, you know, get them in touch with me or have them call the station, whatever the case may be. And let's get them on the air and going. And let's build this thing back up the way it was. That's the goal. Plain and simple. That's the goal. That's where we want to go. And I think we have every opportunity to get back to where we were and have a ton of local programming, have a lot of fun. But it's going to take a community of help in order to get there. And hopefully we get it. So do your part, please, and help us out. All right. So I said we were talking Packers every day, like Brewers and Badgers. Or Brewers and Bucks, I should say. Yesterday we had Christian Yelich in this segment. Today we're going to do Christian Watson, Packers wide receiver. Now, again, Christian Watson had a good year last year. But again, dinged up with hamstring injuries. And his dad, Tim Watson, who played in the league for a second, changed his name or whatever, and is on Twitter by some other name. And I'll be honest with you, for a while, I did not know who this dude was that was tweeting about Christian all the time. I was like, who is this? Could not figure it out. Eventually, I figured it out. So he is very active on social media and talks about it all the time. And we'll go back and forth with Packer fans that are attacking Christian or praising Christian. He'll go back and forth with. And that's fine. Do you. You're the dad. You go about this however you want. After the season is done, Matt LaFleur talks about how they're going to do all this extensive testing and they're going to send him to places and they're going to figure out how to fix this hamstring problem. My reaction to that was kind of, I mean, it sounds good. I want to be happy. I want to be excited. But does anybody remember 52? Does anybody remember Clay Matthews? Does anybody remember how many times that dude had his hamstring issues? If you don't want to talk about that guy, how about Fred Taylor, the running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars? That dude was always hurt with hamstring injuries, all the time. So I hear the Packers, right? They make a change on the training staff. Oh, we're going to do all this testing. We're going to send Watson places, and we're going to attack this differently, and we're going to try and solve it. Okay, aim for effort. Well done. Well done. You're trying, right? That's all you can ask. Try and see if you can fix it. And if you can, God bless you, because this offense for the Packers is going to be amazing if that dude could stay healthy every year or at least play 15, 16 games a year. If he does that, sky's the limit. Because he is a huge difference maker for this offense. Now, let's come back down to earth for a second. Odds are, they're probably not going to really fix it. There's just too many examples of athletes in football that have had hamstring problems that have just become chronic. For whatever the reason, they just always have that problem. The Packers have to make a read on this of what they want to do. Now, you could say, we're going to play one more year after we did all this stuff in the offseason. And if he can't stay healthy again, then we're going to go looking for a wide receiver in the first round next year. That can be your strategy. Absolutely. You can wait another year, give it a chance. If it doesn't work again, then say, all right, we're going to have to go find somebody else. We love you, but we're going to have to try something else here. So that's one option. The other option, which I'm not opposed to at all, if you are a 25 in the first round and somebody that shouldn't be at 25 falls to you from a wide receiver position, highly unlikely, but if it were to happen, I'm not opposed to drafting a stud wide receiver if one falls to you. Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, LSU, stretches the field, kind of like Christian Watson. Not opposed to it. Nope, not at all. fine. Because I just am not of the belief that this is really going to get fixed. Been through it too many times, watching too many guys struggle with these hamstring injuries that never can ever recover. And as much as I applaud the effort of them trying to figure this out, and they should. But to me, if you don't do it now, that's fine. But this should be it. This is year three. If he can't get through year three healthy, then you have to figure out what is going to be the next explosive playmaker that's going to work. I love Jaden Reed. Big fan. He ain't Christian Watson. I love Romeo Doubs. He's not Christian Watson, right? Different players, different builds. You've got Wicks, Dontayvion Wicks. He might be your one eventually. I like Dontayvion Wicks. He's not Christian Watson. They don't have another Christian Watson on that team. They've got a lot of really good wide receivers. I love the wide receiver room. But it's not the same if Watson can't stay on the field. It's not. It takes on it's a different way of looking at things. Can you still win without it? Yes. And they proved they could win without him because they did. Right? You could still win. But you can't be as explosive and as dangerous, maybe, as you want to be without that big-time elite difference makers, tall, explosive, super fast type guy that can just change the landscape of a game like that. That's what you want. So, if you don't want to do it now, that's fine. But I don't think you can wait past year three. If he can't stay healthy in year three, then you've got to think of different alternative measures to kind of deal with Christian Watson. You got thoughts on Christian Watson? Dial it up. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Let's go to the phones. Already got another guy. He's always on the Odyssey app, calling the post-game show. Now he's calling this show. You remember him. Some of you hate him. I like him. Vincent in Anaheim. You're up next here on Wisconsin Sports Daily with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up, Vincent?
What's up, Steve, man? What's up, man? First of all, I want to say congratulations on the new show.
Thank you.
I'm glad that the bosses, you know, finally saw the light, man, that, you know, you got loyal fans out there, and they love you.
Vincent. We got new bosses. That's what changed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, new bosses.
Okay, cool,
yeah.
Cool. Then there you go then. See? There you go. Cool, man. But hey, man, a lot of people like me because my Raptors beat y'all Bucks, you know. Raptors.
Don't listen to me, man. Listen to me. People listening right now might not even know who you are. Don't have them all hate you in the first 2 minutes, man. Don't bring that up.
Yeah, it's all good. I got that against the Bucks, though, man. It's all good. But hey, I'm a Packer fan, though. I'm a Packer fan and a Brewer fan for sure. So, you know, because of Tim Allen back in the day and all that, and your show, you know, that. But, man, Christian Watson. The hamstring, you know, like explosiveness. If you got a messed up hamstring, you're not going to be explosive no more. You know, we all know once that hamstring becomes loose, it's either, you know, it gets real tight, and he's off and on the field. That's my thing. When your producer brought this up, I was like, oh yeah, I got an opinion about him, man. I think was it worth the trade up? I mean, to get him? Yes, of course, because you know the hype, not the hype, but the thing was there. But the injuries, man, I think you give him 4 years because I always like, since it's a positive thing, like if he improves, then we put him out there. But if not, somebody else got to take his spot in practice, man, because he's getting all the, you know, the one reps. You know, he's taking the reps away from these younger guys or these other guys that can take it. And I think Romeo Doubs, I think he's good, man. I think he can be like that Robert Brooks or, you know, Antonio Freeman. Like, damn, that's what they remind me of, kind of.
Sure.
One of them was Antonio Freeman, the other one was Robert Brooks, man.
Yeah.
And he just needed to step up, but he has to stay healthy. Every time, man, we're on a roll, he's doing his thing, he's either getting hurt or, like, he gets hit and he gets hurt. It's, like, because he's too skinny, he's too small. So it gets a little frustrating, but I believe in him. I mean, what's a rookie contract? 5 years or 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years. Yeah. And the fifth-year option or whatever.
I think
you're talking about
that. 4 years. I mean, but you got to plan ahead, like you said, Sparky. You know, you're always right, man. You even called it back in the day back in your podcast, Third and Long, you called it about the kicker costing us a playoff game.
Carlson.
And you're kind of right, man. You're kind of right about this whole, I hope he gets better because we need that number one explosive receiver because he's out there and all the other receivers, how they showed up, man, be unstoppable. And we got the running game. We got my Raider, my ex-Raider,
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, man, Aaron Jones, man. I hate he went to the Vikings, but, you know, it is what it is. But
Let's see what happens, man. But he got to, I believe in this. We're letting him ride out the contract, but just don't pick up his option if he keeps staying hurt, you know. But you never know, because he can go out there maybe one game and show out, and then maybe the next game he's hurt. But, you know, all it takes is that explosive play, you know, then you're in the playoffs, or he does that one miracle catch, and he's going to be known for that forever, you know. But
got you. All right, Vincent, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you. There he is, Vincent in Anaheim, calling in, being a part of Wisconsin Sports Daily here on 1250 AM, The Fan. The Dobbs thing, yeah, Antonio Freeman, maybe, sure. I think he's a solid receiver. I like Dobbs. I got nothing against Dobbs. I think he's very good. He's just not the huge downfield threat that you need, right? Jaden Reed has shown he can be a downfield threat. I think Wicks can probably be more of a downfield threat, too. But they're not that guy. They're just not that guy. And that guy is kind of what you really want to have here. And the Packers haven't had a guy like that a ton. Javon Walker, right? I mean, maybe it's kind of to that degree. And you never really got the fruits of that, because you had the contract told out, all that other stuff, and then he was gone. And then he was involved in that horrible situation. Was it in a limousine or whatever when that guy got shot? And he was in the limo and all that nonsense that went down in Denver. And he was never the same after that. But when you talk about him in Green Bay, Walker showed that he could be unbelievable. Like, he had, in my opinion, he had all-pro talent. That kid could have been phenomenal in situations and so forth. It never got to be that way. But if I'm the Packers looking at Christian Watson right now, the other thing that Vincent brought up, and I don't think he maybe necessarily looked at it this way as far as what he said, but I'm going to take it this way. Maybe you don't practice him as much. Maybe. Is that part of the deal, to rest that hamstring during the week? Maybe he doesn't practice as much. He goes through walkthroughs and does that stuff. And while they're practicing, you're just working that hammy over and over, stretching it and keeping it warm. And so forth. Charlie, do you like that idea of maybe not practicing them as much during the season?
I mean, playing college football, that was a plan for a lot of guys in that situation.
Even you big tackles, you got to rest?
There was a couple guys out there that were resting like 2 to 3 days a week instead of practicing, doing the workouts with the trainers and stuff. I see value in it. I also see, you know, people kind of becoming disinterested in the team at points like that, and they kind of lose some of their competitive spirit when they're not competing every day. And I can't say that same thing about Christian Watson. I don't know Christian Watson personally, but there's a risk that you kind of get alienated almost in that sense.
Yep. And you know what? You are an adult now. Grow the hell up. Like, grow up. I mean, I get the isolation part. See, okay, how do I not offend people listening? Specifically Charlie on the other side of the glass, who could break me in half if he wants. This is the thing, right? Athletes, when they're playing and they're in the locker room and they're doing that, and I don't care how old y'all are a bunch of children. I mean, y'all are. You're playing your games in the shower games and towel snapping and crude humor and whatever else is going on in the locker room. That's what it is, right? So when you get pushed out in the real world, oh, damn, I got to grow up now. What the hell? So the isolation syndrome thing is interesting, because it's kind of like being at recess or not being able to go out to recess because you have to stay, and you're like, oh, man, this kind of sucks, whatever the case may be. But if it keeps him healthy and on the field, that has to be priority one. Like Charles Woodson back in the day, that man didn't practice all the time. No chance. He had no interest in wanting to practice all the time. So there are certain guys that didn't want to practice. They were fine not practicing. They wanted to make sure they were healthy and ready to play on Sunday. So if that helps Watson play on Sunday, then just don't practice him a ton. I got some tweets coming in here. Scott tweets at 1250 AM, The Fan. It makes me sick that I agree with this, but Sparky is correct. The Packers have to hedge their bet here some, but need to draft a wide receiver. I think they will draft a wide receiver. I just don't know when. Right? That's the big thing. You draft one in day one. Do you go day two for the draft of a wide receiver? Or do you wait till day three? Because, again, that wide receiver room is set. and you're pretty good at this point. So it's just a matter of how much you want to screw with it and try and upgrade it. And Gutekunst seems to be a GM that doesn't care how stacked the room is. If he feels like he has an idea that could improve competition, he'll do it. All right, that'll wrap up hour number two. Coming up next, how would you grade the Bucks ownership group over the last 10 years? Why is it a topic? I'll tell you next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.